Chapter 63. David kills Goliath. This chapter is based on 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 to 23, 17. When King Saul realized that he had been rejected by God, he was filled with bitter rebellion and despair. He had no clear perception of his sin and did not reform his life, but brooded over what he thought was the injustice of God in taking the succession away from his posterity. He was ever occupied in anticipating the ruin that had been brought up on his house. He did not accept with meekness the chastisement of God, but his haughty spirit became desperate until he was on the verge of losing his reason. His counselors advised him to seek a skilled musician in the hope that the soothing notes of a sweet instrument might calm his troubled spirit. David, as a skilled performer upon the harp, was brought before the king. His heaven-inspired strains had the desired effect. The dark cloud over the mind of Saul was charmed away. Whenever necessary, David was recalled to soothe the mind of the troubled monarch. Although Saul expressed delight in David and his music, the young shepherd went from the king's house to the fields and hills of his pasture with a sense of relief. David was growing in favor with God and man. He had been in the court of the king and had seen the responsibilities of royalty. He had penetrated some of the mysteries in the character of Israel's first king. He knew that the household of Saul, in their private life, were far from happy. These things served to bring troubled thoughts to him, but he turned to his harp and called forth strains that elevated his mind to the author of every good, and the dark clouds that seemed to shadow the future were dispelled. David's special educator. As Moses was trained for his work, so the Lord was fitting the son of Jesse to become the guide of his chosen people. The lonely hills and wild ravines where David wandered with his flocks were the lurking place of beasts of prey. Not infrequently lions or bears came, fierce with hunger, to attack the flocks. David was armed only with his sling and shepherd's staff, yet he gave proof of his courage in protecting his flock. Afterward, describing these encounters, he said, "When there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." His experience developed in him courage, fortitude, and faith. When war was declared by Israel against the Philistines, three of the sons of Jesse joined the army under Saul, but David remained at home. After a time, however, he went to visit the camp. By his father's direction, he was to carry a message and a gift to his elder brothers. But, unknown to Jesse, the armies of Israel were in peril, and David had been directed by an angel to save his people. As David drew near to the army, Israel and the Philistines were drawn up in array, army against army. Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, came forth, and with insulting language defied Israel to provide a man from their ranks who would meet him in combat. When David learned that the Philistines' defiance was hurled at them day after day without arousing a champion to silence the boaster, he was fired with zeal to preserve the honor of God. The armies of Israel were depressed. They said one to another, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up." In shame and indignation, David exclaimed, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Even as a shepherd, David had manifested daring, courage, and strength rarely witnessed, and the mysterious visit of Samuel to their father's house had awakened in the brothers suspicions of the real object of his visit. Their jealousy had been aroused. And now the question which David asked was regarded by Eliab as a censure upon his own cowardice in making no attempt to silence the giant. The elder brother exclaimed angrily, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." David's answer was respectful, but decided. "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David brought before the king. The words of David were repeated to the king, who summoned the youth before him. The shepherd said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul strove to turn David from his purpose, but the young man was not to be moved. "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. For 40 days Israel had trembled before the Philistine giant. Upon his head was a helmet of brass. He was clothed with a coat of mail that weighed 5,000 shekels, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs. The coat was made of plates of brass that overlaid one another like the scales of a fish, and no arrow could possibly penetrate the armor. The giant bore a huge javelin, also of brass. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Morning and evening Goliath had approached the camp of Israel, saying, Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, then shall ye be our servants. I defy the armies of Israel. The king had small hope that David would be successful in his courageous undertaking. Command was given to clothe the youth in the king's own armor. The heavy helmet of brass was put on his head, and the coat of mail was placed on his body. The monarch's sword was at his side. Thus equipped, he started upon his errand, but ere long began to retrace his steps. The anxious spectators thought that David had decided not to risk his life, but this was far from the thought of the brave young man. When he returned, he laid off the king's armor, and in its stead took only his staff and a simple sling. Choosing 5 smooth stones out of the brook, he put them in his bag, and with his sling in his hand, drew near to the Philistine. The giant strode boldly forward, expecting to meet the mightiest of the warriors of Israel. His armor-bearer walked before him as if nothing could withstand him. As he came near, he saw but a stripling. David's well-knit form, unprotected by armor, was displayed to advantage. Yet between its youthful outline and the massive proportions of the Philistine, there was a marked contrast. Goliath despises the youthful David. Goliath was filled with amazement and anger. Am I a dog, he exclaimed, that thou comest to me with staves? He poured upon David terrible curses, then cried in derision, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. David did not weaken. Stepping forward, he said to his antagonist, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This speech, given in a clear voice, rang out on the air and was distinctly heard by the listening thousands. In his rage, Goliath pushed up the helmet that protected his forehead and rushed forward. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. The two armies had been confident that David would be slain, but when the stone went whizzing through the air straight to the mark, they saw the mighty warrior tremble and reach forth his hands as if struck with blindness. The giant staggered, and like a smitten oak fell to the ground. David did not wait an instant. He sprang upon the prostrate form of the Philistine, and with both hands laid hold of Goliath's sword. It was lifted in the air, and the head of the boaster rolled from his trunk. A shout of exultation went up from the camp of Israel. The Philistines were smitten with terror. The triumphant Hebrews rushed after their fleeing enemies to the gates of Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents.